RNZ Pacific News, hello Keta Nemblong Mi, Lydia Lewis. Solomon Islands' newly elected Prime Minister Jeremiah Manele has highlighted tax reforms and economic recovery as two major priorities for his government. Mr. Manele was elected by his fellow parliamentarians on Thursday, polling 31 votes to 18 over rival candidate and former opposition leader Matthew Wale, with one abstention. In his first national address, he would announce his cabinet lineup in the coming days and hinted at some of the proposed laws that they would be bringing to Parliament.
These bills include the Value Added Tax Bill, Special Economic Zone Bill, the Mineral Resources Bill, the Forestry Bill, and others. Cabinet will meet to decide on the priority legislative and policy programs for 2024, which includes whether we need to revise the 2024 budget or not.
A commentator says the public in Tonga wants to know why two key cabinet posts remain unfilled. The drama began in early February when King Tupou VI let it be known he was not happy with the cabinet appointments to the defence and foreign affairs portfolios. The palace wanted these roles filled by people of the king's choosing. Prime Minister Huakava Meiliku Siosisovaleni, who was defence minister, and Fekitau Te Kamanu, who was foreign minister, relinquished those roles in March. But the posts remain unfilled by the palace. RNZ Pacific correspondent in Tonga, Kalafi Moala, says people are raising questions, particularly after the Prime Minister and King met. But Huakava Meiliku says he could not reveal what was discussed.
There are a lot of unanswered questions, but that's where the public is being reacting to. How can you call it a private conversation when the meeting is between two of the most public people in Tonga and the details are not revealed up to this day?
Meanwhile, Tonga's King Tupou VI closed the 2023-24 session of Parliament with a hard-hitting message delivered by one of his Privy Council members. Lord Tangi of Vaunuku Nuka read the King's message in the House this morning. While calling for transparency on government spending, the King also asked why they are running the only airline company in the kingdom. He says the airline should be given to those who know how to run such a business. He also called on Parliament to monitor and check government spending and ensure that the grassroots benefit from all services and projects. A Pacific historian says Pacifica voices must be part of the debate on whether or not New Zealand should join AUKUS, the Indo-Pacific Security Pact. New Zealand is considering joining Pillar 2 of the agreement, a non-nuclear option. Critics say this could be seen as Aotearoa rubber stamping Australia acquiring nuclear-powered submarines. AUT Law School lecturer Marco Deong says Pacific perspectives must be prioritised in AUKUS discussions.
I don't think Winston Peters should mistake the quietness of Pacific leaders on AUKUS as necessarily supporting New Zealand's position. Most Pacific leaders will, instead of calling out New Zealand, re-emphasise their own commitment to the Blue Pacific ideals and the regional consensus on a nuclear-free Pacific.
The slump in the Japanese tourism market is seen as the key reason for one of the two main hotels on the Northern Marianas Island of Saipan shutting its doors. The Hyatt Regency, which has operated on the island for 43 years, will close next month amid occupancy rates of just 30%. It's understood about 130 staff will lose their jobs. The governor, Arnold Palacios, called the closure disappointing and saddening. RNZ Pacific correspondent on Saipan, Mark Rabago, says the owners were Japanese and the hotel has geared itself to serve the Japanese market. He says tourism has dropped off and getting those tourists back has proved very difficult, not least because of the soaring dollar relative to the yen.
At the same time, the Japanese government has an internal program right now where they are encouraging their people to travel around the country instead of outside. Also, we are competing against other on sand and beach tour spots like Vietnam, the Philippines, Bali in Indonesia, and even Guam in Hawaii. So it's really hard.
Guam now has a direct link to Japan following the launch of a new flight. A United Airlines spokesperson says the first Guam to Haneda flight departed overnight and is expected to provide a much-needed boost to Japanese visitor arrivals. Haneda Airport in the Tokyo metropolitan area has a population of more than 37 million. The Pacific Daily News reports the airline plans to operate 7 flights a week between Tokyo Haneda and Guam using a Boeing 737 aircraft. Fiji's Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister admits the country's human trafficking unit has been neglected. The government has set aside $10,000 Fijian a year for the past 3 years, a figure survivor advocates say is a drop in the bucket. Biman Prasad blames low funding allocation inherited by the previous government. Now he's promised a cash injection.
Of course, you know, we will be providing adequate funding, and which means more than what was there. We will make sure that there are adequate resources, and we'll be working with our international partners, including New Zealand, Australia.
Mr. Prasad says he cannot say how much will be set aside until the July budget. Meanwhile, there's a shortage of beds in Fiji hospitals to cater for the growing number of patients. Health Minister Dr. Aiono Lalabalavo told Fiji Times it's a chronic issue that's impacted the country for many years because there's not enough space for hospital extensions. He says they have decentralised medical services in health centres to try and improve facilities outside hospitals. In world news, senators in Arizona have voted to repeal the 19th century state law banning abortion unless the mother's life is in danger. The bill was revived after the US Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right of women to a termination. BBC's David Willis reports.
In a ruling that proved highly controversial, the Arizona Supreme Court determined that a law dating from 1864 banning abortion from the moment of conception could be enforced across the state. Amid the outcry that followed, Democrats then set about attempting to repeal the legislation passed before Arizona was granted statehood, which they have managed to do with the help of Republicans, whose members are bitterly divided over the issue.
In sport, the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame is partnering with the Pacifica Hall of Fame to find young talent for American football. Former NFL star Manasseh Jesse Sapolu says the hope is to find the next Lafonga Jordan Mailata, a former NRL player. Mailata was recruited in Australia, where he was playing for the South Sydney Under-20s team in 2018.
The Polynesian Football Hall of Fame is now teaming up with Pacifica Rugby Hall of Fame that are going to give us the kids. Just for an example, 6 years ago, Jordan Mailata, who came over from Australia, you know, didn't even know what American football was. And this past month, he just signed a $100 million contract.
The Vanuatu Paralympic Committee has confirmed two athletes will represent them at the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris. Vanuatu Daily Post says Ali Enoch and Ken Kahu are going to France. The Paralympic Games are held 2 weeks after the Olympic Games and will run from August 28th to September 8th. The team is planning to depart Port Vila on August 21st. And Australia has committed to supporting over 50 Fijian athletes for the upcoming Paris Olympics. The country's Minister for International Development, Pacific and Defence Industry, Pat Conroy, announced this in Nandi earlier this week. He says the support is part of the Vuvale partnership. Fijian athletes have qualified for the Games in sevens rugby, sailing, taekwondo and archery. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.